We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Bite.
The following is a presentation of Learfield IMG College.
This is Doc Insider.
Give it to Verdell. He's got the first down and gone. Duck fans start celebrating.
Oregon is the 2019 Pac-12 champion.
The 2020 Rose Bowl champion.
Richardson, another open three. Good.
Duarte dribbles
and slams with the right hand.
For the third time in the last 5 years, the Ducks are back.
Champions and now Pac-12 tournament champions.
Welcome to Duck Insider.
We're just getting started.
This is Duck Insider on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College, presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Better banking, local solutions. Live from the Country Financial Studio, here's Joey Mack.
Very happy Monday to all of you joining us across the Oregon Sports Network. Thank you for being with us. Whether you're tuning in on the Oregon Sports Network Twitter, the Go Ducks Facebook, the Go Ducks YouTube, one of our Oregon Sports Network affiliate stations, thanks for being with us. We sure do appreciate it. We're going to hear from Oregon football head coach Mario Cristobal. He just wrapped up his press conference along with the two coordinators in Joe Moorhead and Andy Avalos. That is on the docket today. Joe Moorhead will also join Jerry and Jorgie on the Oregon Football Coaches Show this week. And we're coordinating with Johnny Johnson III as well. That's our show coming up on Wednesday evening. Now, if you're just joining us, if you missed it over the weekend or on Friday, UCLA ended up playing Cal this weekend. Not who the Bruins were originally scheduled to play. That took place at 9 a.m. yesterday, where UCLA got a pretty convincing win over Cal. More details on that. And we still do not have a kickoff time to announce for you, as a lot of different parties try to figure out where to kick this game off, and looks like it's going to be on ESPN, but we don't know exactly what time yet. When we do, we'll tell you, because the Ducks and the Bruins obviously are anxiously awaiting it also, not just the fans. I did see one question about Micah Pittman, actually two questions about Micah Pittman and some of the other scratches this weekend. Coach Cristobal on that and more coming up in a moment. If Coach Cristobal has something to say about it, then we'll have it for you here on the show. So I wish that I had a kickoff announcement for you, but instead I have on my notes for everybody who tuning in, UCLA kickoff info. That was my first thing, and then I just literally have a bullet point that says dot, dot, dot. It doesn't actually say dot, 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 but there's just three dots, like, we're waiting. So there's the announcement for you. Some new sideline apparel this week. NCAA making an announcement as well. Also, some men's basketball updates and women's basketball updates before we hear from Mario Cristobal. Yeah, the Ducks are going to honor the Polynesian roots with a special Ohana collection. Joe Salavea, of course, a Polynesian man himself. Yeah. It looks nice. If you haven't seen him, you can check him out on the Go Ducks and Oregon football social media. They also on the shop link on GoDucks.com for this week's special sideline gear with maybe another uniform coming. There might be a special uniform. Might be a special uniform this week. We'll find out. I don't know. Coach Cristobal, though, coming up. I know a lot of you are wondering what's going on with Micah Pittman. A lot of questions about that. And like I said, if Coach is wanting to talk about it, he will. So stick around. NCAA, some announcements for you before we get into football and interviews. The NCAA has announced they're relocating the 2021 Division I Men's Basketball Championship sites. They're in active preliminary talks with the state of Indiana and the city of Indianapolis to potentially host the 68-team March Madness tournament around the metropolitan area. That would still take place during the normal dates of March and April. This is coming, of course, with everybody trying to figure out the best way to keep student-athletes and coaches and everybody safe, and doing it in multiple geographic areas. There's some challenges with that, so the announcement today that they're looking at doing it in one geographic area, a single geographic area for March Madness. Also of note, men's basketball and women's basketball with some news today that we want to tell you about. Oregon signed three players rated among the top 50 high schoolers nationally to their men's basketball roster for the 2021 class. Head coach Dane Altman announced it today. The class ranked number one in the nation last month by ESPN and number eight by Sports Illustrated, and it's probably the best front court in the 2021 class. Nathan Biddle officially signed by Oregon men's basketball from Central Point, Oregon, and Coach Altman said that it was a huge deal to keep a recruit of Nathan's caliber in the state of Oregon. Nathan Biddle out of Central Point committing to the Ducks. He is a long, athletic, an exceptionally gifted player, can hit from outside, can block shots. So many good things from Nathan Biddle. And really cool for a kid from the state of Oregon to generate this much praise. He's the eighth best prospect in the nation, and he was the Oregon 5A Player of the Year for Creta High School. Pretty darn good. He is the highest-rated in-state recruit landed by Oregon, surpassing, who do you think? Peyton Pritchard. Also of note, the Ducks today announcing Frank Kepnang officially signed to the 22nd best prospect in the country. And with him and Biddle, it's probably the best front court. And also Jonathan Lawson here that we'll tell you about in a moment. He's from Cameroon. Prepped at Westtown High School in Westchester, Pennsylvania, ranked among the top eight centers nationally by ESPN, Rivals, and 24/7 Sports, and is in the top 50 players overall by those three services. That is Frank Kepnang. And finally, a familiar last name, Jonathan Lawson, the number 47-ranked prospect in the country, the Tennessee Gatorade Player of the Year, of course, the brother of Chandler Lawson, who you'll see on the floor in his sophomore season for the Ducks this year. There's your men's basketball 2021 recruiting class announced today. Wanted to kick the show off, and we're going to hear from Mario Cristobal coming up in just a moment. And look at this. I love the crowd. Thanks, everybody, in the comment section. John asks, how can somebody buy that Ohana sweatshirt? And right away, Bradley was ready for it. I didn't even have to get the comment out. I didn't even have to do anything. Well done. Teamwork makes the dream work. Well done, Duck fans. Everybody in it together. Also, before we hear from Mario Cristobal, the women's basketball conference schedule matchups have been announced. Ducks coming into the season at number 10 in the country, one of five Pac-12 teams in the preseason top 25. The non-conference schedule is in the process of being finalized, and it looks like we'll have more TV times and clarity for you in the next week or so, as conference season for basketball and the start of basketball season is rapidly approaching. The week of December 4th through 7th, Oregon will open Pac-12 play. And remember, it's a 22-game full round robin for women's basketball across the Pac-12 this season. Now let's get into some football. Oregon against Washington State. We're going to hear from Mario Cristobal, his weekly press conference in a moment. DJ Johnson, another nice performance and a really nice job filling in for some unavailable tight ends for the Ducks. And I'll tell you what, if this Oregon team could get over some early penalties, and some early mistakes, then this team would be really, really good. The Ducks are -5 in turnover margin in their first two games this season, yet they've got two victories. If Oregon doesn't make those mistakes early on, I think the Ducks are probably going to be looking really, really good. Before we hear from Coach Cristobal, bear with us, because we like to listen to Jerry and Jorgie call games, and we like to watch usually the highlight footage of Steve Pohl and Scott Phillips. This time it was actually from our friends at Washington State. Everything's a little bit different in 2020, so your game recap for you, because there were a lot of good things in that win over Washington State, our game recap from this weekend.
Turn and keep. Looks to toss, does throw. Big guy's got it. The tight end gets to the pylon. That should be a touchdown. DJ Johnson again. Chuck, snap from center, back to throw. Pretty good protection. Now going to step up, wants to go deep. Oh, he's got him. He's got him, Red. Catch made at the 2-yard line. Snap from center. Give it to Verdell. Up the middle. Power, power, power. Oh, over the goal line. He's got it. Touchdown, Oregon. Here's Shuck on second down and 7. Going to keep it and go himself. Going to get a first down and a lot more. 50, 40, sideline and out of bounds at the 35-yard line of Washington State. Little play action. Nope, going to hand it off. Verdell, big play. Got it. 50, midfield to the 40. 35, 30 and out of bounds. There's a big play. Going to go back and throw. Got him. Die. Touchdown, Oregon. Right side. Snuck out of the backfield. Was open in a crease. And I'll tell you what. Shuck threw a dart. And a handoff. Nope. He kept it. Went right up the middle. And he's off and gone. Inside the 30. Still at his feet now. Steps out of bounds at the 28-yard line. And that's Habibi Lekio behind him. He gets the ball. No, it's going to be a pass. Touchdown. Johnny Johnson the third. And there's Travis Dye behind Shuck now. Two receivers each way. Shuck back to throw.
The guy's got a linebacker
steps,
on him.
Look. Got him deep. He's open. He's got it. He's gone. Not going to catch Travis Dye. 10-5. Touchdown, Oregon. All right, here's Shuck to give it to Verdell, going to try to get it outside, and does. 30, first down, 35-40, still on his feet, and finally pulled down at the 48-yard line. Shuck to Dye, coming left, he's got room. 40, 30, try to cut it back inside, does at the 25, all the 23-yard line. Shuck, Habibi Lekio behind him, is going to get the ball and roll into the end zone.
That's the way you finish it right there,
no doubt.
Could anybody tell that Jerry and Jorgie weren't in Pullman based on listening to that? Yeah, in all seriousness, Jerry and Jorgie called the entire game from the broadcast booth at Autzen Stadium. And listening to that, you'd never know. But like I said at the end of the show on Friday, I think Jerry and Jorgie are so talented they could probably read the phone book and people would think it's interesting. That's Jerry and Jorgie for you. Just a couple notes before we hear from Mario Cristobal. Jalen Redd, outstanding performance. I think that Jalen Redd continues to show that he's taken that step, not just on the field, but off the field, too. I've really, really enjoyed watching Jalen Redd's progression in Oregon's 43-29 win over Washington State, where Tyler Shuck went 21 of 30, 312 yards, 4 touchdowns and an interception. What a turnaround, too. Ducks started a little slow, and then Tyler Shuck is now one of just 2 Oregon quarterbacks to throw for 300 yards and rush for 80 yards in a game. Some of that, I think, is because of Joe Moorhead and what the Athlon Sports Offensive Coordinator of the Week, that was announced today, has done for this Oregon offense. But Jalen Redd, a big help too. 5 catches, 99 yards, 7 targets, about 20 yards per catch. And how about Travis Dye, everybody? Travis Dye through 2 games. He's touched the ball 13 times. 219 yards and 3 touchdowns. 219 yards and 3 touchdowns in 13 touches. That's about 17 yards per touch and about a touchdown every 4 touches. I mean, I don't know. How do you describe that then if you're Travis Dye? Like, game changer, I guess? Yeah, pretty impressive. The Ducks pulled away with a dominant third quarter. And again, Oregon starts out a little bit quicker. This team's going to be pretty hard to beat. Team's going to be really, really tough to beat. Some more of your postgame notes for you, and also we're going to hear from Mario Cristobal. His weekly press conference just wrapped up. Stick with us. I know a lot of people curious to hear from the head coach. We've got that for you coming up next. It's Duck Insider, presented by On Point Community Credit Union, back inside the Country Financial Studio with Mario Cristobal after this on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
From the weight room to the classroom, on the field and off it, OnPoint proudly supports University of Oregon athletics because student athletes do so much more than bring us pride on game day. They bring our entire community together in Eugene and all across Oregon. So whether you're watching the game in the stadium, at home, or at your favorite local business, their success makes all of us stronger. OnPoint Community Credit Union. Join in. OnPointCU.com. Federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing opportunity.
As my family continued to grow, I realized I'd have to replace my beloved Jeep with something that has, well, more seats. I'm Jason Hines, Country Financial Rep and father of seven. Whether you're upgrading from your sporty ride with no room for a car seat or finally replacing your well-loved beater that still has a cassette player, you'll want the right protection for your new car. Work with a Country Financial Rep like me and get the protection you need at a price you can afford. Learn more at TakeSimpleSteps.com or contact a local country representative.
Don't go anywhere. Duck Insider continues after these messages on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College. Learfield IMG College.
Hey, everyone. Let's all stop what we're doing and take a moment. You see? Every moment can be kind of special. But they could be loud moments, goofy moments, dorky moments. It doesn't matter. Because every time dads like us take a moment like that to spend with our kids, well, it's pretty momentous. So let's take a moment to make a moment. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hello, it's me, the designer jeans in the back of your closet. What happened to us? I used to summer in the Hamptons, and now I'm stuck behind a pair of sweats. Okay, maybe I never really fit you right, but I got a lot more Sunday fun days left in me. So take me to Goodwill, where I can really make a difference.
Your donations to Goodwill create jobs, training programs, and education assistance for people in your community. To find your nearest donation center, go to goodwill.org. Donate stuff. Create jobs. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Insider presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Joey Mack here with you. Our Oregon Imaging Center's Inside Look, I always like to dive in a little deeper on one facet of the game. So Tyler Shuck, 166 rushing yards, the most ever by a Duck QB in their first two career starts. Wow. You heard me mention what Travis Dye has done in that game, in particular against Washington State. He had 20.1 yards per offensive touch. Jalen Redd, it was a career high 99 yards for him as well. And then how about this from Oregon's entire team? The Ducks are now 16 of 22. 16 of 22 on third down. That's 72.7% success on third down. That's ridiculous. That's unheard of. Ducks were 7 for 11 against Washington State, but 16 of 22. And Oregon has also scored at least one touchdown in all eight quarters this season. Taking you inside that Oregon offense, brought to you by Oregon Imaging Centers. Choose quality, choose service, choose Oregon Imaging Centers. The choice is yours. Jack asks, how should we greet Chip Kelly and UCLA Saturday at Autzen? I think definitely with respect, as Jack says, but it is going to be odd to not see fans there to welcome Coach Kelly back to Autzen Stadium. Meanwhile, Mario Cristobal, the Oregon football head coach, he met with the media and he talked about, well, numerous things. Let's hear from the Oregon football head coach in his weekly Monday press conference.
Certainly excited for our guys. Really good road win. Proud of the guys for the way they responded after a slow start and to show resiliency and grit and tough it out and execute better in the second half, come out with the victory, but quickly just refocus on getting better and certainly on our next opponent this coming Saturday in UCLA.
Mario, a couple on the defensive side. One, to go back to the dime package, I know we've talked about it, but that was an area last year, third and medium, longer and really long, that was a big disconnect for this defense, and so far it's gone extremely the other direction. It's been tremendous so far. Just your impressions of, again, even with depleted personnel, managed to come through with guys who hadn't played that much in game one, delivering those results. And secondly, something we haven't really talked about the last year and a half, Mario, you guys had missed tackles on defense for the first time, I think, under Andy in a pretty large number. Your takeaways and watching the film on the defensive side.
Well, I think two things. Number one, I'm really proud of the guys that have stepped up. You know, we have been a little bit depleted and certainly getting the guys healthy. And then just getting other guys developed and playing. But the dime package and some of the things that we've done with that have been really effective, and we expect that that particular package to expand and keep growing. In terms of missed tackles, it just as a team overall, blocking and tackling has to improve. When you have that much time off, you always wonder what it's going to look like on a game day. Number one, credit to the way Washington State created space, and they've got some guys that have some really good make and miss ability, and they made some plays, but thought as the game went on, particularly in the second half, we got our feet underneath us and did a better job with our balance and our body control, and we're able to do a better job tackling.
Mario, you were one of the best teams nationally last year in enforcing turnovers. Now two games in, haven't got one yet. Can you go back and maybe reflect on what's going on there and kind of ways to improve that as something that you focus on in practice?
Well, even more importantly is we hung onto the ball a lot better and didn't have turnovers last year. And this year we're, I think, now minus five in turnover margins. So we're certainly on the wrong side of that scale that we want to be on. And it starts with ball security. We got to do a much better job with that. We did force at this point last year. We had forced some more turnovers. I do believe that will come. It comes with better tackling. It comes with just getting more and more repetitions and opportunities. And I think we're close on causing some and forcing some, but we got to stay at it. And the entire week, the entire season, every single day has got to be a complete commitment to technique and fundamentals. And when you do that, and when you're disciplined, you know, when you play within the scheme, you do what you're supposed to do, those things come your way. Things bounce, the ball bounces your way. So we got to continue harping on discipline. We got to continue harping on technique and fundamentals and playing with relentless effort.
Mario, your thoughts on UCLA, particularly the way they've been scoring the ball the last 2 weeks and the challenges that offensive side, especially Dorian Thompson-Robinson, present to you guys this upcoming weekend?
Well, you know, it starts with him. I mean, probably, if not the most dynamic, one of the most dynamic players in college football. He's complemented by a lot of speed and explosiveness. I think a part of their offense that doesn't get enough credit is their offensive line. I think they're extremely physical. They do a great job on their double teams. They do a great job finishing blocks, keeping him clean, and just doing a great job getting pushed at the line of scrimmage. They've done a great job with their tight ends, both of them. They use two of them, and certainly one's got a little bit more attention than the other in the passing game, but they do a great job using those guys and misplaced personnel. They're very explosive at the tailback position. Former track athlete and one of them. They get them out in space, mismatches on linebackers, involve them in the passing game. Extremely explosive guys that can make you miss and take it to the house. A wide receiver, we're familiar with a couple of these guys. And, of course, Chase Kota, great player, Jalen Irwin as well. Just a very – Kyle Phillips is, I think, how many receptions do you have already? He's got 6, 7, 8 receptions. But overall, they spread the ball around really well. They challenge you with their formations or unbalanced sets. The quarterback runs. His decision-making is excellent. He can do it with his arm. It's strong. He's accurate. He's very well coached. Just overall, about as good as an offense as we have faced.
Hey, Coach, just curious about the availability of some players, Popo and the tight ends, and then the group, including Micah and the others that weren't available this past week.
Yeah, I believe that that Campmore and McCormick and Popo will be available. I do not think that Pittman, Stevens, Daywood Davis, and Spencer Webb still a question mark, but the other three will not be available. I don't think they'll be available. I guess that sums it up right there. And, of course, Nick Pickett has to sit the first half due to a targeting call.
Coach, it seemed to me that you mostly went with a six-man rotation there on the offensive line against Washington State. You mentioned earlier hoping to, bump that number up to six or seven or eight. How close are you to getting more guys in that rotation?
I feel like we're close. I do. I also feel that Coach Mirabal and has got those guys playing at a really high level. That group of guys is really – they're gelling and they're figuring things out. They understand what we're trying to do, and therefore, even when they mix and match and play beside each other, they're doing a really good job communicating, being able to pass off stunts and whatnot. And certainly, they're going to have to this week because this team certainly moves a lot, very similar to what Washington State used to be. We hope we can get there. I think we can. I think we're really, really close. I'd hate to, get out there and say it again and it not happen, but it's really close. A lot of guys have been playing and practicing really well. So we're going to try to get there.
Yeah, Mario, Travis Dye has 220 yards and three touchdowns on just 13 touches. That's a pretty remarkable, I guess, yards per touch for him. What's made him so effective in this offense? And I guess, is there even more to capitalize with him?
I think so. I think we're kind of just scratching, the surface on Coach Moorhead's plan of attack. I think there's full buy-in by those guys on offense, and also trying to use the strengths of guys to how it fits the playbook. And certainly Travis, you saw obviously with the catch last week, everybody's talking about a couple catches, really good out of the backfield. Explosive guy. He's got great balance and body control also. He's got great vision, and he's a great blocker as well. So I think that often gets lost in some of his playmaking ability. The guy's a really good blocker. He's really smart, and he's all about the juice now. You know, we mentioned, in our locker room how we felt that him and Jalen Redd were misrepresented in their stature in the media guide because of how big they play. They're bigger than what they're listed at. You know, they play bigger. They bring a lot more to the table than just what their abilities, show on tape and what their stature says in the media guide. So really fired up about the way Travis is not only playing, but the way he's approaching the game, the way he's positively affecting his teammates.
Mario, obviously you guys have to be ready for everything this year, but how difficult would it be to prepare for an opponent that wasn't on your schedule within 48 hours? And just, I guess, how impressed are you with UCLA's bounce back this week after a tough start at Colorado?
They looked really impressive, and impressive that was done within a 48-hour time frame, because they threw a lot. They threw a lot at Cal, and most of it worked. Really impressed with their physicality. I thought their defense, with all the stemming, the movement, the stunts that they're doing, the pressures, a huge element of what Washington State used to be under Grinch is what you see on tape. And the interior of their defensive line really took over that game, causing a lot of negative plays, beating back blocks, anticipating pullers, getting in the backfield, causing all kinds of penetration, and then running their stunts to perfection and causing all kinds of issues for the quarterback. So just really impressed with their physicality. And their linebackers, they get downhill in a hurry. You can't wait around. Those guys aren't going to sit back and let plays come to them. They're going to attack the football. They're going to attack the ball carriers, close on the quarterback. So very impressed.
Mario Cristobal, the Oregon football head coach, meeting with the media just a little while ago, if you're live with us in the 1 o'clock hour. A lot of questions, I know, about people that are available, unavailable. As Coach just mentioned, that group that was unavailable for the Washington State game, he anticipates they will be unavailable for this upcoming game, though he did not give a specific reason. Another question about, do we have a game time set? We do not yet. I wish we did, but Oregon UCLA coming up on Saturday. Again, if you're just joining us, rescheduled from that original Friday night kickoff after UCLA and Cal ended up playing at 9 a.m. on Sunday. So just would have been too short of a week for UCLA to turn around and play Friday. So the Bruins and Ducks will match up on Saturday. Our understanding is that the game will be televised on ESPN, but we do not have a kickoff time to announce for you yet. Hopefully soon, but that's as things could move very, very quick. It's, 1:26 on Monday afternoon, and by 1:27, everything that I said might be old news. We'll see. I'm Joey Mack. It's Duck Insider, presented by On Point Community Credit Union. We've got more from Mario Cristobal, about another 9 minutes of his meeting with the media today. That's next, so stick with us on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
After 2 years of construction, my wife and I finally moved into our dream home. So when a bathtub fixture broke, causing major water damage, I was glad we had the home insurance protection we needed. How do you know your home is protected? Talk to a Country Financial rep like me, Nick Simon. We can help you understand your options and select coverages to meet your needs. Then if something happens to your home, you won't have any surprises. Need the right coverage for your home but not sure where to start? Visit TakeSimpleSteps.com or contact a local Country representative.
All it takes is one drop to make a wave. One beat to inspire a track. One spark to get creativity flowing. With every drop, LifeWater refreshes your mind and restores your body. Purified water, pH balanced with electrolytes for taste. Designed with original works of art on every bottle. Let us be your source of inspiration. LifeWater, the feel-good water.
Duck Insider, Duck Insider, Duck Insider continues after this timeout on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
Okay, forest animals, kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow, have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. River, how's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man.
I love it. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. Okay. Squirrel.
The forest has been preparing just for you. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Long ago, you wouldn't think of galloping on a horse while doing calligraphy. And you wouldn't have attempted to ride your bike while typing a letter. Yet you think you can safely operate a multi-ton vehicle while texting? Behind the wheel is no place to multitask. If you want to BRB, drive now and text later. Lives depend on it.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Joey Mack welcoming you back to Duck Insider, presented by On Point Community Credit Union. We're inside the Country Financial Studio, second floor of the Casanova Center here at the University of Oregon. And Mario Cristobal met with the media just about 100 yards away, upstairs at the Hatfield-Dowlin Complex Media Center. Continuing his conversation, previewing Saturday's matchup against UCLA, Mario Cristobal.
Yeah, Coach, on the targeting, how difficult is it to teach that, to be aggressive yet not do that? And is there a key thing that player has to be mindful to prevent that, because I'm sure they none of them were intentional, but it still happens quite often.
Yeah, I think it's very difficult, and that's a great question, a great point. I think it's when it's not intentional, I think that this should be looked at. Even we need to take a deeper dive into it. These guys haven't played football for 300 plus days, but we expect them to be perfect when things are high. It's easy to watch it in slow-mo. Oh, wow, he could have avoided that. Well, maybe one guy's 5'9", and the other guy's 6'2", and he's trying to close in on a play, and within a split second, a jump goes down to ground level, and all of a sudden, faces and helmets collide without any intent to cause any malicious harm. So, we teach it. We preach it. We try to rep it as best that we can. The speed of the game sometimes is much to overcome, and things like this happen. So I wish there was for non-malicious intent situations, I wish there was some type of relief or reprieve, or at least an analysis, an assessment, because in a year where you already have attrition and whatnot, I just it is what it is. So press on.
Mario, minus the turnovers, there was a jump, it seemed, improvement from game one to game two. What's your impression about that? And are you seeing that improvement at the speed you'd like in practice as well?
Yeah, we've been practicing well. We practice good on good. We go fast, so we're getting tested by our defense, which is an excellent defense. And the jump, it took place after a slow start. We shouldn't need that to get us going. We shouldn't have to respond to ourselves. We could, we can respond to what teams throw at us and adversity and everything else, but we can't cause our own adversity. And certainly, we were able to survive with this past time and get on track and really make some, put together some really good, strong drives, some really good third down conversions to keep drives alive as well, and a couple fourth down conversions. So, but we're starting to make more explosive plays. We're starting to really understand offensively what we're trying to do. So all in all, really good progress, but there's a lot of stuff to correct, a lot of things to get better at.
Mario, a couple other on personnel and one on the run game. Justin Flo didn't travel, and Pat Herbert, you'd said last week, was a possibility to return. Those two and on the run game, your guys' splits from first to second half are unbelievable. CJ specifically, but the whole team, is that mainly line adjustments that are happening at halftime, or is that just wearing guys down? Because it's like 4.5 to over 9, I think, yards per carry is the difference.
Well, the first thing is Herbert, he's not available yet, but we expect him back in a little bit. And Flo did travel. He just wasn't available to play. First half to second half, you want to be able to run the ball well all the time, but I think sticking to the run and being balanced on offense, a lot of people try to say that we're run first. We're balanced. We're almost 50-50 if you factor in RPOs called. What ends up being run, what ends up being spit out there, you can't control. Defense dictates that. But Again, just proud of the way that in a year where you haven't had a full year of strength and conditioning, that our strength and conditioning is, I guess, a residue from early in the summer is showing up, and our guys are playing a little bit stronger as the game goes on, and we're making some good adjustments and finishing blocks. But we've also made a lot of mistakes and some errors that where things could be a lot better, and we need to get better. You know, and certainly it's a technique and a fundamental thing, and that's been the focus of our entire organization since we started camp and everything else, and that'll continue throughout the rest of the season.
James just mentioned the run splits from half to half. Is part of that, do you think, I guess, you know, you're resting and you're rotating guys. I know Sala and I think Alex, the only players who played every snap the last couple of games. Do you think there's a cumulative effect of just these players are rested throughout the course of the game?
I don't know. You know, you always think that that shit has some type of an impact on it. I think more than being rested, guys are hungry to say, hey, you know, I want all the reps. And I think that has a lot to do with it. I think that there's nothing more motivating than competition in playing football, right? And to know that there's another guy there that can snatch a couple of your reps away, I don't think any of those guys want to give up their reps, and that's a good thing. So the quicker we can get to seven guys playing and then eight guys playing, the better for everybody.
All right, it feels like this year's team is considerably faster, just overall team speed, than maybe the previous couple of seasons. Do you notice that? And I guess how big of an impact has that been for you guys in these two wins?
Well, you know, again, I don't know if we're faster. You know, we might be playing faster. You know, I think if you took numbers from the previous couple of years, I think it'd probably be the same. But I think, you know, we're doing a better job with personnel use. You know, we're getting guys in positions to make more plays and take advantage of situations. And, you know, also guys are maturing. You know, I know the whole roster percentage, we're the youngest team around, but we also have some older guys that have been here that have played a lot of football. And they're getting, not only are they playing well, they're getting younger guys to play better. And I thought on the road, and I get it, there is no crowd now, right, with fans not being allowed in the stadium. But I thought that the combination of that leadership and those guys just playing faster and getting those young guys to have confidence in themselves leads to a faster, more physical football team. So we're getting better, but still have miles to go.
Mario, Tyler's been around, but he has not played a lot yet. And are you at all surprised with just how quickly he's picked up and executed Joe's scheme, given the lack of an off-season?
No, sir, because Tyler grinds at it, and he knows that he wants to get better, and he's going to continue to get better, and he's hungry and driven. So, and he's always been that way. So I'm not surprised that he is picking things up and progressing at a really good rate. And I'm also not surprised because Coach Moorhead is a really, really excellent football coach and teacher. And his teaching progression lends to guys learning systems really well, thoroughly, inside and out, understanding the what, the how, and the why of everything we do. And when you do that, when you can grasp all three of those things in an offense, you know how all the pieces are coming together as opposed to just kind of looking at the whole thing through a straw, and you've got command of the offense, and I think that's what Tyler is quickly approaching too.
Mario, you talked about how prior to the season, analysts and everybody were looking ahead to everyone on the schedule for all these potential adjustments. You mentioned what UCLA just did, but because of that and what's going on across the country, do you guys prepare for not just what's remaining, but literally everyone out there in the league who you haven't played because – something could happen on a Wednesday or Thursday and all of a sudden you're playing someone who wasn't previously scheduled? And to that point, is this conversations going on nationally about possibly delaying the playoff or pushing back conference title games? Do you think there's integrity of record for division champions if you don't play everyone in the division? Because right now teams in the South may not play everyone in the South.
I think everything has to be on the table, right? Since I guess no one wrote a handbook for this thing, right? So I think as time goes on and scenarios pop up, everybody's got to put their heads together and try to figure out what the best scenario is for the players, right? For the sake of the season, the guys that have actually, you know, opted in and gone all in and have played. And from there, you know, you got to figure it out. In terms of having an alternate plan, you really can't plan for two people at the same time. You have to have your alternate plan on deck. You know, if you start getting a feel for, well, so-and-so may not play, you know, because that kind of leaks out there, right? You see, all right, so-and-so might be in trouble, or the team that you're going to play against may have some issues popping up. Then you get that, you know, you take that plan off the shelf and you get it ready to roll and be ready for a phone call or whatever comes and say, all right, boom, sudden change. Now we're focusing on blank, and you go on to the next one. So yeah, it's everyone's on a high alert 24/7, you know, DEFCON 5. That's an 80s term from an old 80s movie, but yeah, we're on high alert.
I didn't think that was an 80s reference when Coach Cristobal said that. I knew what that meant. Maybe I've got my 80s down, I guess, but I think you'd – that's not necessarily just an 80s movie reference. I guess that's all I'll say. Doesn't matter. That's what I'm saying.
Oh.
It's from more than just that.
Gotcha. Okay.
That's what I'm getting at.
All right, okay.
Scott Phillips, the resident pop culture expert here for Duck Insider. We should add that to your business card that's about five business card titles long by now.
Yeah, I don't have any of those anymore.
Yeah.
It got too long.
Yeah. Well, you know what they say? What I always say is the people with the longest titles on their business card are the most important until it becomes just an acronym. CEO, COO,
gotcha.
AD.
Yeah.
Like, when you get to that point, then you've really made it. But until then, your title has to get really, really long, and then it just becomes an acronym right, that everybody accepts. So you're in the titles are getting really, really long phase. Yeah. That was Mario Cristobal, the Oregon football head coach. We still have more to come. Offensive coordinator Joe Moorhead met with the media. That's coming up after this. It's Duck Insider, presented by On Point Community Credit Union, live from the Country Financial Studio on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
From the weight room to the classroom, on the field and off it, On Point proudly supports University of Oregon athletics because student athletes do so much more than bring us pride on game day. They bring our entire community together in Eugene and all across Oregon. So whether you're watching the game in the stadium, at home, or at your favorite local business, their success makes all of us stronger. On Point Community Credit Union. Join in. OnPointCU.com. Federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing opportunity.
This football season, prepare your taste buds for the most iconic sports watching drink of all time, Pepsi. With refreshing deliciousness specially formulated to keep your eye on the ball and mouth-watering fizziness to help you power through game day, Pepsi has everything you need to start strong.
I used to care when Mike cheered so hard he spilled nacho cheese on my carpet, but thanks to Pepsi, even Mike can't ruin my football party.
So this football season, make Pepsi your go-to game day drink because it's the only drink made for football watching. Pepsi, that's what I like.
Duck Insider, your home for the latest news on Oregon athletics. This is the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield, IMG College.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager, Learning the Lingo.
GOAT, G-O-A-T, acronym, stands for Greatest of All Time. As in, spaghetti sandwiches for dinner? They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Man, do I love card night. You ready, boys? You got a king?
Go, Fish Dad!
Oh, come on!
This is WWE superstar Titus O'Neil.
It only takes a moment to make a moment.
Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Insider, presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Going to hear from Oregon offensive coordinator Joe Moorhead coming up in just a moment. Jackson's Food Store is proud sponsor of the University of Oregon Ducks. With all your game day necessities, you'll be ready for anything the big game brings, thanks to Jackson's and Go Ducks. Every assistant coach interview this year is brought to you by the Moya Valley Cancer Institute and Research Center. Fight like a duck with cancer care you can count on. Joe Moorhead, Oregon offensive coordinator. I think a big reason why Oregon continues to dominate on third down. 16 of 22 on third down this season, about 73% efficiency. That's pretty good. And the RPO, big reason why, that run-pass option. Joe Moorhead talking about that and more with the media today.
Joe, certainly won't be the only question going back to last week's game, but I hate to harp on just the turnovers, but you know it kind of defies all math to win at minus five through two games and be 2-0. It's almost unheard of. Whether it's the mess charge, which Mario talked about after the game, which came up again, I think, in the third quarter, but you guys avoided it blown up. How do you better avoid some of those situations? And on the interception, was that just, would that have sprung for a touchdown? Because it looked like Forsyth was downfield on the safety, and if that's complete, yeah, that Johnny had a lot of grass.
Yeah, I mean, just going to the first part of it, you consider the two biggest statistical factors that determine the outcome of games, and it's explosive play margin and turnover margin. So we've hit our explosive play mark two out of two games, but obviously, you know, the turnovers is something, I guess you'd refer to it as a statistical outlier right now, that we're on the minus end of that. And, you know, it's something that we need to get resolved, whether it's quarterback decision-making, you know, like you said, whether it's some of the ball handling stuff or our ball security when it's a, you know, quarterback receiver, running back running it. So those are certainly things that we have to clean up moving forward. Oh, and on the you said the one to Johnny? Yeah, it was close. I mean, it looked like the guy got grabbed, but it was a double screen, and you know, we thought if we could have picked that block up and completed it, we would have had a shot. But you know, if it's not there and the guy's covered, we got it. Talking to Tyler, we just got to throw that thing in the ground. Can't make a bad play worse. You got to move on to the next play.
Coach, it seemed like the RPO game was very effective on Saturday. But I was wondering how you felt that Tyler Shuck is doing with his reads on those things. It's hard to tell exactly what you had in motion there.
I think he's improved from game one to game two, and you just want to see that, you know, incremental kind of small steps forward with every game, particularly for a first-time starter in a brand-new offense. And I think that's the benefit of what we do in the run game. And we talk about numbers, angles, and grass, that when the quarterback's making the correct decision, it's getting the ball to the tailbacks where you have, you know, advantageous numbers either blocking or with angles. And, you know, when it's time to pull, then you're throwing it to the right person based on coverage. And, you know, this style of offense is trickling up. So, you know, I think he's made improvements from game one to game two, but I think he would agree that we still have a good ways to go. And that's a positive thing. It means there's room for growth.
Joe, what do you think it would be like to get ready for an opponent that wasn't on the schedule in less than 48 hours and play kind of a pickup college football game?
It'd be like drinking water from a fire hose. it'd come at you very quick, but you'd have to do it. It'd be a ready, fire, aim situation. So you'd find out, you know, what the games you had available. You'd break it down as quickly as possible, put a plan together, practice it, and get on the field and play. But it's certainly a situation I would imagine we hope to avoid. But if we have to, like Coach says, no excuses, spot the ball, and we'll go play game.
Yeah, Joe, Travis Dye is averaging like 18 yards a touch for you this season. What's made him so effective in this offense for you?
I think his speed, I think his versatility. You know, one of the things about Travis also is he's an unbelievable team player. You know, brings a lot of energy to the sideline. So I think when he has a skill set that you can run between the tackles like a running back and kind of catch the balls on the perimeter, you know, makes him a very valuable weapon. And then Coach Masters done an unbelievable job with that group, kind of getting the guys in place, you know, to run plays that match their skill set. So yeah, Travis has done, you know, fantastic things at, you know, running the ball, catching the ball, and as a teammate and a leader as well.
Last two games, you've really dominated line of scrimmage in the second half. Run game has kind of put the game away. What have you seen on film in terms of how you guys have established that? Is that simply your line's more rested because you're rotating, or kind of how do you see your team establish that line of scrimmage so well in the second half?
I think it's probably a combination of things. You know, obviously, as an offensive philosophy, we want to be as balanced as possible. You know, but a lot of it is contingent upon our ability to run the ball successfully, you know, and that creates numbers at the box for us to be able to throw the ball downfield. But I feel like we've had a good plan going in. I think we've, you know, as a collaborative offensive staff, you know, the tweaks that we've made at halftime to maybe do a couple different things, I think it's a credit to our linemen, our tight ends, and our guys running the football. But I think it's also has a lot to do with the culture of this program, you know, and Coach talks about all the time our fourth quarter program and putting the fours up and what that means to our guys. They really believe in that. And I think that just that mindset and that mentality and that culture that once it gets to the fourth quarter, you know, we're going to be able to lean on people and allow that to take over. I think that's probably been the biggest thing.
Back-to-back weeks of DJ Johnson getting a receiving touchdown. I mean, you talked about it after week one. I mean, has it surprised you at all how effective he's been switching positions like that?
I wouldn't necessarily say surprised because I've seen DJ do those things in practice, you know, during camp. I'd say the surprise would be is where he was in the depth chart kind of heading into the season, the position change and all those things. So But he's a great young man. He works incredibly hard. You know, Bobby does a great job with that group. And it's like anything, he got his opportunity and he's made the most of it, and he's really produced, and we're seeing the touchdowns and the catches, and that's great. But he's also been a tremendously physical and dominating force in the run game too. So I think that's been, he's done just a good job there as he has catching the ball.
Joe, just going back to like your origins with RPOs, because I don't think that it's certainly not new territory over the last probably 5-10 years in college football, but it's definitely escalated. And what you've done has been excellent so far. But like, what was your origin story with being exposed to RPOs? Where did your kind of prowess with it? When did it begin, and who kind of brought it to you?
Wow, I can remember the first one that we ever ran was when I was with Coach Brookhart at Akron, and it was we were playing Miami of Ohio, and I'm not getting the specifics. I remember it like this. We were on the left hash, and it was 12 personnel trips right, and we ran inside zone left, and the tight end ran a stick, and the wing tight end ran a flat. We called it 15 lock stick, and we completed the ball to the flat like it was against 4 press coverage. And we really didn't – we weren't delving into it too much at that point, but I remember that's something we kind of started doing. Did a little bit more in 08. We did some of it when I was at UConn, when we were a little bit more of a mix between, you know, 11 personnel and some of the heavier sets. But, you know, once we got to Fordham in 2012, as I'd say, when we, you know, had, I would say, both feet in a boat, but really started doing things at the first level, second level, third level, you know, reading just about everyone and doing things that not a lot of people were doing at that point. And I think we've just continued to develop it over the years and, you know, add new things, add wrinkles, who we're reading, you know, how we're pairing it with our base runs. And I think that's been the most exciting part, not just the origin of it, but the evolution of it as well. I can find that clip for you somewhere, James. I'd have to probably go back on a VHS tape or a DVD, though.
Coach, I was wondering about how you determine going into a game, because we've seen both games now, the run game gets better and better kind of as the game wears on. Part of it's having fresh legs in there at running back, it seems, with Travis. When you go into a game, how much of it is like how you already know what the run distribution is going to be or the carry distribution? How much does it feel during the game who's going to carry that rock?
I think there's a little bit of a basic approach relative to what the plays are in the scheme entering the game. But I don't mess with that at all. Coach Mastro, he handles that stuff. He gets the guys in there, has a feel for what they run well, has a feel for who's fresh, has a feel for who has a hot hand. And, you know, I call the plays, and then the back who's in there is in there, and he executes it. We think they're all capable of doing, you know, the entire kind of system. But, like I say, he has a great feel for those guys, and we're confident in all of them. But I think, you know, once again, that coach does a good job maximizing those guys' abilities.
Your offensive line, I don't think they have a false start. They don't have a holding penalty. 5 new guys starting with this group at the beginning of the year, obviously. What's made this transition just so smooth? And is it surprising that they've been this clean this early for you?
No. You say, I mean, that's certainly a great start by them. But I think it's about the talent that we have, right, and the kids and their ability and their collective kind of psyche and approach and mentality. That the chip was on their shoulder. You know what I mean? When people look at them and say, all right, well, you lost 5 starters, you lost the Outland Trophy winner, you know, these are the guys that are going to have to do it. So I think they really were, you know, that's something that they were excited about, that they were going to be a new group that was going to have to find a way to get together cohesively and collectively and play very well. And then you just look at the guys that are coaching them. I mean, between Coach Mirabal and Coach Cristobal, it's like having 2 PhDs in a room at the same time. So between the talent, the kids' mindset and their approach, and then who's coaching them, and I hope a little bit of what we're doing scheme-wise helps too. But you put all those things together, and I guess what you had the first 2 games is the result.
You were without Micah on Saturday. Curious on your impressions of how Josh, Devin, and Chris filled in. And it's, you know, Coach just indicated that you might be without him again. Just kind of what's the development you want to see from this last week to the next?
No, I thought they filled in very admirably. You know, Josh had a real nice catch on the speed out there to the boundary on a first down play, and then had a huge third down catch against man to man a little bit later in the game. And then Devin caught a great glance route, you know, caught the over route on the naked. And, you know, the 2 things that really don't show up on the stat sheet, you know, was his blocking on J-Red's run down by the goal line. And then the long run that Travis had on the 4-minute drill, you could see, you know, Devin racing down the field and getting a block on a on the linebacker. So, you know, it goes along with coach's next man in philosophy. You know, someone goes down, the person who replaces them is going to do as good or better of a job. And our kids don't flinch. They thrive on adversity. And it was great to see, like DJ, when those guys got their number called, they made the most of their chances.
Joe, when you first got here, you said you would base, you know, what you run on what the personnel is good at, what they can do. Is it safe to say with what we've seen so far that Tyler can pretty much do anything that your playbook calls for? And he said you haven't even shown a lot of it yet. Just your thoughts on Tyler so far.
I've been very pleased, first and foremost, with it, with his approach. And that's a big thing, because there's a thing when I talk about quarterbacks, don't tell me you want to be great, show me you want to work to be great. And he puts in all the time that's necessary. And you could be a good quarterback and do things, you know, just when you're required, you know, normal meetings, normal practice and all that stuff. But this guy's in here on his own, you know, watching the film as soon as it gets on the computer, you know, extra time with all the other position groups. So his approach has been fantastic. And then just how he's worked during the week to grasp the game plan and then the execution of it. So, like I said, he's done well, but he's got a ton of room to improve. But when someone wants to do it and shows they're willing to work, and then they take that to the field and, you know, continue to improve, I think the sky's the limit. But we got to keep grinding away and keep working hard at it.
Joe Moorhead, the Oregon offensive coordinator, meeting with the media today. A few Oregon football notes as we wrap things up right after this on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
As my family continued to grow, I realized I'd have to replace my beloved Jeep with something that has, well, more seats. I'm Jason Hines, Country Financial Rep and father of seven. Whether you're upgrading from your sporty ride with no room for a car seat or finally replacing your well-loved beater that still has a cassette player, you'll want the right protection for your new car. Work with a Country Financial Rep like me and get the protection you need at a price you can afford. Learn more at TakeSimpleSteps.com or contact a local country representative.
From the weight room to the classroom, on the field and off it, OnPoint proudly supports University of Oregon athletics because student athletes do so much more than bring us pride on game day. They bring our entire community together in Eugene and all across Oregon. So whether you're watching the game in the stadium, at home, or at your favorite local business, their success makes all of us stronger. OnPoint Community Credit Union. Join in. OnPointCU.com. Federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing opportunity.
This is Duck Insider. Duck Insider on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
Tweens have mastered the art of tuning out. Jen, there's a spider in the car. We're turning your room into a home gym. See? Nothing. But some messages need to get through. Like making sure they're buckled up the whole ride, every time. Do whatever it takes to make your child listen. Jen, I friended your boyfriend.
Wait, what?
Buckle up, sweetie.
Never give up until they buckle up. Learn more at safercar.gov/kidsbuckleup. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
To buy your home, you became a house hunting ace. Learned about loans, scoured neighborhoods, and asked the right questions. Now you're queen of your castle. If you manage that, you can get your retirement plan on track. Visiting aceyourretirement.org can help. With 401k tips and smart saving strategies, you'll feel empowered to own your retirement like you own your home. Go to aceyourretirement.org. Because when it comes to clearing financial hurdles, you're an ace. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Back on Duck Insider, presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Joey Mack here with you. Your Cafe Yum 2-Minute Drill, news and notes around Oregon Athletics to wrap things up today. We don't have a UCLA kickoff time for you yet. Game will be played Saturday. Just don't know when. Waiting for the TV networks and the conference to figure that out. We will have some new sideline apparel, though, as part of this new Ohana collection for Oregon football. You can find it on the GoDucks.com shop link. NCAA also planning to hold March Madness in one geographic area. The Oregon Women's Basketball Conference schedule has been announced. You can also read about the new signees for Oregon men's basketball on GoDucks.com. Busy show today. Tomorrow, going to hear from defensive coordinator Andy Avalos. Didn't get to that today. And a lot more. That's your Cafe Yum 2-Minute Drill as we wrap things up. Menus always available at CafeYum.com. Thanks to Mitchell Lee, Scott Phillips. I'm Joey Mack. See you tomorrow.
Whoa, long time no see. It's me, the Rock t-shirt in the back of your closet.
Dude, remember? You crowd surfed in me, man.
But you haven't worn me in like forever.
I get it, you're retired, but I still got some rock left in me. So take me to Goodwill, where I can really make a difference.
Your donations to Goodwill create jobs, training programs, and education assistance for people in your community. To find your nearest donation center, go to goodwill.org. Donate stuff. Create jobs. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
I wasn't prepared to be a caregiver to mom. I had no idea how hard it would be and what I would need to know. Things I never thought of, like how to improve her mood and ways for me to stay positive. Luckily, I found the Caregiving Resource Center from AARP. It had articles about the basics, but also information about the hurdles I was facing. Caregiving Resource Center at aarp.org/caregiving. Articles, tips, and tools to help you both care for your loved one and care for yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
All right, everybody in the car, let's go.
What are we going to do first when we get there, Mom? Go for a hike?
Sure.
What about canoeing? Can we go canoeing, too?
I don't see why.
How long does it take to get to the forest?
It's not that far, sweetie.
Are we there yet?
Yep, we're here.
Already?
It's a short drive from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
They say that car crashes happen in slow motion. The reality is that crashes happen fast. There's no time to think and no time to check if your child is in the right car seat. Car crashes are a leading killer of children 1 to 13. Are your kids in the right seat for their age and size? Don't think you know. Know you know. Get more info at safercar.gov/the right seat. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
You've been listening to Duck Insider on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield, IMG College. Presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Better banking, local solutions. The preceding has been a Learfield, IMG College presentation of the Oregon Sports Network.